From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, No Cause to Blush. The text is Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. We shall not be ashamed of our faith. Carping critics may assail the scriptures upon which we ground our belief, but every year the Lord will make it more and more clear that in His book there is no error, no excess, and no omission. It is no discredit to be a simple believer. The faith which looks alone to Jesus is a crown of honor on any man's head, and better than a star on his breast. We shall not be ashamed of our hope. It shall be even as the Lord has said. We shall be fed, led, blessed, and rested. Our Lord will come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended. How we shall glory in the Lord who first gave us lively hope, and then gave us that which we had hoped for. We shall not be ashamed of our love. Jesus is to us the altogether lovely, and never, never shall we have to blush because we have yielded our hearts to Him. The sight of our glorious well-beloved will justify the most enthusiastic attachment to Him. None will blame the martyrs for dying for Him. When the enemies of Christ are clothed with everlasting contempt, the lovers of Jesus shall find themselves honored by all holy beings, because they chose the reproach of Christ rather than the treasures of Egypt.
I must needs go home by the way.
Oh,
these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he proceeds with this study in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is examining the theme, the principles of divine judgment. The text is found in verses 6 through 10 of the second chapter, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. There are two aspects of the text which have caused concern to believers. The first is the assumption that somehow Christ's blood atones only for the sins a person committed before they were saved. Dr. Cairns has already shown that this is an erroneous view, because Jesus Christ's blood cleanses Christians from all sin, past, present, and future. The second source of difficulty arises from the question of the relationship between justification by faith and believers being rewarded according to their works. It is a subject which must be faced and dealt with very carefully. Dr. Caron seeks to do that in this message, entitled Judgment According to Works and Justification by Faith. There have been a number of erroneous approaches to the passage, such as that put forth by the Church of Rome, and more recently by the so-called New Perspectives on the Apostle Paul. Both of these end up teaching justification by works, which is far from what Paul intended. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Caron's.
The incarnation is God taking flesh. It is God becoming a man without losing deity. Two natures in one person. They're distinct forever in the unity of one person. I want you to understand that is an irreversible act. For all eternity, the second person of the Godhead will exist in personal union with humanity, a real human nature. There is the marvelous, glorious, unspeakably great condescension of our God in giving His Son to become our Savior. But the Christology that Rome and even Lutheranism has suggested speaks more of man, the human nature of Christ being deified. That's why Luther could speak about the actual body and blood of Jesus being physically, actually, literally present at every communion. Over, under, above, around, you know, not substantiating the elements, but being with them so that you're actually eating the flesh and the blood of Jesus. Obviously, that could only be if the body were deified. The humanity of Christ is glorified, not deified. There's a world of difference. And we who are saved will be glorified. We will never be deified. There will always be that unbridgeable gap of greatness, that qualitative as well as quantitative difference between God, the eternal Creator, and ourselves, the creature, even when glorified. But Rome says this justification is a sanctifying and deifying grace communicated to us in baptism. But we must voluntarily cooperate with that grace, which we do by good works. We continually maintain ourselves in a state of grace by good works. And thus Rome can speak of justification being increased or decreased or even lost entirely because of our works or our lack of works. And if it's increased and maintained, then there's real merit in our works. In fact, Rome goes so far as to say that moved by the Holy Spirit, we can merit for ourselves, and if that's not good enough, even for others, all the graces needed to attain eternal life. So as far as Rome's view goes, there's no problem with Romans chapter 2. Just as the lost will be condemned because of their disobedience, the saved will enter into eternal life because of their obedience. We merit by our good works all the graces needed for eternal life. So according to Rome, no problem with Romans 2. Paul doesn't teach justification by grace alone, through faith alone, on the ground of the imputed righteousness of Christ alone. So that's Rome's answer. I don't want to take time refuting that answer tonight. I think to state it is to refute it if you've ever read the Epistle to the Romans at all. The Arminian solution rejects works righteousness as taught by Rome, but yet Arminians teach that justification is reversible. The popular way of saying that is you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. You've heard that statement before. What that means is you can be justified today and condemned tomorrow. Therefore, remaining in a state of grace, remaining justified, depends on our continuance in good works. Now, follow me carefully here. The Reformed faith, the biblical faith, teaches believers persevere because they are saved. Arminianism teaches we must persevere in order to be saved. There's a world of difference. Again, I don't want to take too much time going into that. I will emphasize, however, that the Reformed faith and its doctrine, bearings, is not what passes for Christian theology and doctrine nowadays, what has been given in shorthand. And there's nothing wrong with the shorthand, it's the use that it's put to of the doctrine of eternal security. Do I believe in eternal security? It's a daft question. It's a meaningless question. Do I believe in eternal security? For whom? Do I believe in the eternal security of the justified? Most certainly I do. Why do I believe in it? Because of Romans chapter 8, whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's absolute security. There's no slip between the cup and the lip there. But I prefer the old Reformed way of putting it, the perseverance of the saints. When you're saved, you go on with God. I do not have much hope in the salvation, never mind the security, of people who make, quotes, make a decision, where the whole of saving grace has been brought down to a human decision. You make a decision, you walk an aisle, you sign a card, you get baptized, you join a church. You might live like the devil for the rest of your life, but somebody or other will say, oh no, there's eternal security. I fear that the only security there is the security of damnation. Because when you're saved, you persevere in holiness by the grace of God. But, according to the Arminians, who believe that you have to keep on working in order to remain saved and get to heaven, Romans 2 is not only a promise, a warning, that your justification is not yet assured unless you hang on. And in fact, some of them go so far as you could live going on like the Apostle Paul. You could live all your life. And if you fell into sin on your last day on earth and died that way, you'd go to hell. That's salvation by works with a vengeance. So that's the Arminian solution. Now we come to something that I'm really only going to mention. I'm not going to get into it in detail because it's a hugely complicated subject. There's a movement called the New Perspective on Paul. It has arisen in recent years among some professedly Reformed and Protestant theologians. And their view, unfortunately, is neither very Reformed or very Protestant. It is closer to Rome and certainly closer to the views of Arminians. Reformed theology on this subject has at its very heart the distinction between, these terms are important, between a forensic or judicial justification, what John Calvin called the legal acquittal from guilt of him who was accursed, and a felt or demonstrated justification. In other words, the assurance we may feel and others may gain about the reality of our acceptance with God, because justifying faith produces the fruit of real sanctification and good works in us. There's a vast difference. Paul deals particularly, though not exclusively, but he deals particularly with the forensic justification. James deals particularly with the felt or demonstrated justification. They're two sides of the one coin, but nonetheless they must be understood if you're to make sense of James and Paul. According to these reinterpreters of Paul, there is no such distinction. And one of them went so far as to say, good works are necessary for righteousness. You know, that is true. But if, as he means, you can't be righteous before God apart from your own good works, then it's a lie. Because for God to count me righteous because of my works means that God has to be a conjurer, an imaginer, or a liar. Because the best works I do are marked with sin. And if nothing that defileth shall enter therein, if my righteousness can only be called righteousness because of my personal good works, then I fear there can never be righteousness. This writer said, good works are necessary for righteousness. He was, although I don't know that he knew he was doing it, he was echoing the sentiment of one of the greatest apostates that Irish Presbyterianism ever turned out, J.E. Davy, Professor Davy, once the head of the Presbyterian College in Belfast, moderator of the assembly, man who was tried for heresy and unfortunately was let off, though he was as guilty as the devil. Davy said that the doctrine of imputed righteousness was a figment. He said that it was just a Protestant version of transubstantiation, that sin could not be imputed to Christ, and that righteousness from Christ could not be imputed to believers. So you either believe the inspired Apostle Paul, or you believe the uninspired satanic Apostle Davy. Well, this so-called Calvinist that I'm quoting obviously goes along with the Davies of this world. What they're saying is that on condition of our own works, we are accepted by God. Now, this is Romanism with a vengeance. Apart from the idea of merit, this new perspective in Paul is much closer to Rome than it is to the Reformed churches. There's a whole lot of other aspects that I don't have time to get into where these people depart from the historic faith. I want to tell you, it is a disastrous departure. And just let me throw in a word of warning here. I don't want to take too much time in this, but it needs to be said. We live in the age of the information highway. Almost everybody has access to a computer. And almost everybody, unfortunately, has access to the internet. While it is a wonderful tool, and there's no turning back the clock, yet it has been a source of more anguish. There are people, men and women, that I have dealt with, men and women, believe it or not, up to their ears in pornography because of what they're sitting looking at in their own home on the internet. And then there's an equally great danger. You may think that's going over the top when you hear what I'm going to say. There's an equally great danger where people get on and they start reading what every Tom, Dick and Harry has to say on matters theological. And I could name you some people whose drivel is to be found on the internet. Some of it is very scholarly drivel. Some of it is dressed up in very intellectual garb. But drivel it was, drivel it is, and drivel it will always be. But I know people, and they're just drinking in this drivel. And it's ruining them. This particular notion, this new perspective on Paul has largely, not exclusively, but it has largely been perpetrated, or perpetuated, should I say, because of people sticking it on the internet. People come along and they read it. I've heard of Presbyterian elders splitting their church, trying to say this is the historic Christian faith. And all the time, what it is yet another attempt to drive Protestantism back to popery, to rob us of the gospel, and to get our people back to a theology of justification by works. So that's the answer of the new perspective on Paul.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.